All right. Thank you, Brother Lewis. I appreciate the message and song. I'm glad Jesus cares. Amen. Well, today, Memorial Day weekend, looks like we got a lot more folks gone than came. We're glad to have each and every one of you that might be visiting. Good to see Brother Mark Elliott over there. Good to see you. Maybe a few others that came in this direction. I think most of them are going the other way. Of course, it is Memorial Day weekend. Times pass, perhaps in our church, we put a little more emphasis on the real meaning of Memorial Day. Let me do this. If you are a veteran here, would you stand? Would you do that? Let's see, we have some men. I saw Brother Ken Lee back there. He was bragging a little bit because he could keep his same uniform, put it on again, amen? Appreciate all you men. I thank God for you. We wouldn't be enjoying the freedoms we've got today except for men like these that have stood and paid the price, and many of them paid the price, of course, in battle and many graves over on foreign soil. I noticed that some of you brought some babies in. We do have the nursery over here. It's well stocked, and maybe one of the ladies will show you the way over there, if you would, please. And it'll be better for the baby, and it'll be better from us here, for the rest of us here in the auditorium. You know, I think about Memorial Day. Now, look at me. You've all seen a baby before. Look this way. Amen. Isn't it amazing how people are? I'm talking about you. You are people. Amen. Anyway, one of my favorite funnies concerning Memorial Day is the little boy that was in a long service with his mother Memorial Day weekend. They were having a lot of festivities and things going on and honoring the vets, and he said, "Mother, what's this Memorial Day thing about?" She said, "Well, son, it's to remember the men, and the soldiers, and others that gave their lives in the service." Well, as things drug on, he finally whispered to his mother, and he said, "Which service, morning or evening?" Sometimes we kind of understand that maybe just a little bit, but we are proud to think back and thank God for what Memorial Day really is about. Now, we've kind of combined it this morning with baccalaureate service, and I think we got about a third of our seniors here, but the best of the crop, right? If you can't get an amen out of you there, we're in trouble, amen? All right. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Bear with me this morning. This is the first time I've tried to speak in several days with had a little bug there, but had to get rid of. Mark chapter 14. I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning on a lasting memorial, and you'll see it here in these first 9 verses. It says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him," Jesus, "by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." Not unlike politicians today, they still fear the people, and they should. Verse 3, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." I get it right. "Shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." You know, in the context here, we're in the setting, it's getting close to the Passover time. Actually, is a parenthetical statement here when it speaks of 2 days. If you went to John chapter 12, you'd find out when he got to Bethany, it was yet 6 days to the Passover. That's not the point. The whole place was kind of in an uproar. It was a big deal. It was a festival time, and all of this, and yet in the midst of that, kind of ignored, kind of insignificant, a woman shows up and comes in and brings in what to them was an expensive thing at that time, the spikenard, and she begins to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find out that while everybody else ignored it, the Lord Jesus made something out of it. We come to the word memorial, and I tried to say this in the bulletin, but we got an L in there, and it said world instead of word, but the word memorial has the word memory involved. We recognize that. We're remembering something when we set up a memorial to something. And the truth is today, memory is important. Mankind, human, is different from animals in that we can also remember things. And it's big business today. Knowledge is. What your computer is a great big memory bank, right? And all that stuff is stored in it. And man's knowledge is bought and sold today. It's an important thing. Now, man is different. He can remember. He can also know something about the future. He knows there is a future. And man is the only animal that knows he's going to die. Did you know that? I mean, he's the only one knows retirement's coming, old age is coming. Have you ever heard your two dogs sit down and have a discussion about what they're going to do for retirement? Have you ever heard Fido say to Fluffy the cat, I wonder if they're laying up ahead for us? Haven't heard that, have you? See, we're different. While we are the creatures of God, in a sense, we're different. Not only that we have a soul and a connection to God and all that business, but the truth is we can think back and we can run the clock forward. And we don't know everything about the future, but we do know some things that are down the road. And we do know from experience of watching others that we also can get sick. We also can die. We can also have our problems ahead. And we understand that. Now, in the context of the story here, the betrayal is being planned. Pick it up about verse 1. It says, the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft. They got to be clever about it now. And put him to death. They got to be clever because they know the crowd would not be before that. So that's sort of in the context. Now, here Jesus is speaking of what looks like an insignificant act and not all that important, insignificant act that will live on, though, is what he's talking about. Live on from today. Now, I want to see some things we can learn from a little story here this morning. This memorial to this lady. We could call it a lasting memorial because here it is almost 2,000 years later. And we're talking about it. And it's recorded in the greatest book that's ever been written and exists. That's the Bible. So what a memorial that really, really is. Now, it tells us to begin with here, we can draw this conclusion. It tells us what's done for Jesus is not all recognized, often recognized much of the time. Just what she do? Well, she anointed his body with this ointment, and yet it wasn't recognized much at that time. Isn't that so true today? You know what? Christianity don't make the 6:30 news very often. When's the last time you had the 6:30 news and they come on with a lead line, another missionary went to the foreign field today? Or in China today, so many thousand were saved. No, it don't make the top news, does it? I mean, they got all the bad stuff coming and going all the time on the news, but very seldom does it say another church got started. They don't say, well, we got the gospel into a foreign land and a whole village received Christ. Hey, that's happening. That is happening, but it don't make the 6:30 news. You see, the world don't recognize what's done for Jesus as being very important today. And that's what we see right here. We see that it takes second place. Now, while it does take second place, do you understand that what's done for Jesus is the answer today to the world's problems? Do you understand we wouldn't have that bloody-handed jihadist on the streets of London had somebody reached him with the gospel? I mean, in the great ignorance of his religion, he was doing something for his own soul in the future. In all that great ignorance, and as awful as that business was, the answer to it is the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God that sent his son to die on the cross. And yet we're not getting that message out. In fact, our president went on the speech and he said, we're not at war with Islam. Well, you better wake up. They're at war with us. They are definitely at war with us. And we're seeing it. And what's the answer to that? The answer would be the gospel. The answer would tell them the good news that Jesus Christ came and paid the price for their sins. And they don't have to go out and chop off heads to earn their way to heaven. Be a wonderful thing if we could get the good news out like that. After the end of World War II, and as we think about Memorial Day just a little bit, George MacArthur, the great General MacArthur, came home after the signing of surrender on the ship there with Japan, and he came home and he said, the answer is to send more missionaries. The answer is to get the missionaries to come, and if we don't do it, he said, Armageddon will be at the door. Well, you know what? We didn't do it. Now, thank God for many that went. Brother John Bunch is out there. He knows what I'm talking about. And others that went to Japan. And many, many souls have been saved. And a lot of the preserving of the gospel of light and of salt has worked across the world. But the answer to the world's needs and problems is still the gospel of Christ. What's done for Jesus may not be important in the eyes of the secular world, but it's still the answer. It is still the only answer, really. Really it is. Terrorists in our streets today, political correctness killing America. Some of you have seen where Major Hussein that shot up Fort Hood out in Texas. You saw where the military court's gonna try him, but he's gonna be able to come in with his religious beard on. One judge wouldn't have it, so guess what they did? They changed the judge. Not only that, but all this time that he's been, from that time of shooting on, it's never been labeled a terrorist act. It's called a workplace violence. That's right. Not only that, they've never cut his pay. He's been still drawing his full paycheck. I'm saying to you folks, we got things backwards. Got things backwards. The truth of the matter is, the wonderful truth is that Christ is the answer, but we can't get the answer out there today because it's seen as insignificant. And while this woman did not draw much attention, even among the disciples, and I look a little bit further here and I see this, what's done for Jesus is often misjudged when it's done. See that in verse 4? And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, now you can study this in other places and find out Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, was pretty much leading this disgruntled thing. But he says, why was this waste of the ointment made? This was expensive stuff. Why was it wasted? You know, you look around today and you see folks that criticize what's done for Christ as being a waste. I've pastored a long time. I've heard a lot of criticism. Much of it has to do with the cost of sending the gospel around the world. Isn't that sad? It's ridiculous. You say, well, what do you mean? I'm saying when we look over here at our mission goal and we see how we sacrifice and we give to send the gospel around the world, I've heard on the streets and I've heard in the businesses and I've even heard in this building through these many years, many times that, well, you shouldn't send all that money over there to the missionaries. Is that right? Well, let me see what they're sending back to us. You like to have the jihadists in the streets? The truth of the matter is here that what you consider a waste, the Lord Jesus Christ praised. Amen. Big difference. Big difference between the two. What's done is often misjudged here. And I see the hypocrisy of it. I see it right here in the text. It's still working today. The hypocrisy of we could have sold that and gave it to the poor. Is that what you were going to do with it? I'll tell you, the best excuse for raising taxes in America is the poor. And yet we still have the poor, don't we? Because when the taxes are raised, very little of it gets to the poor. And that system is working worldwide. That is still a truth today. And the hypocrisy of it. The IRS has been in the news this week with their scrutiny of, guess what? They're not worried about the jihadists. They're worried about Baptists. They're worried about Bible believers. They're worried about fundamental conservative Christians, that we might be the threat. So you saw it in the news this week. Some of their scrutiny involved, what kind of books do you read? The questionnaires that's been received by God's conservative people. Even in one case, what are you praying for? We'd like to know what your prayers are. Can you believe this, folks? I want to say to you, Orwell's Big Brother 1984 government is right here. And if you don't recognize that, your freedoms are flying out the window. Under so many guises today. I mean, the hypocrisy of it. Well, you know, that's tax money, and the government don't waste tax money, do they? I saw this week where the National Health Institute, that's your tax money, gave $1.5 million for a study to find out why lesbians are obese and gay men aren't. $1.5 million. I guess that is a queer puzzle, isn't it? You know, I just lay awake at night and wonder about that. I mean, don't worry about Korea's got some nuclear-tipped missiles they may be aiming. Let's worry about why the lesbians are overweight. Just couldn't sleep because of that. Top of the agenda. Could you take that $1.5 million and imagine some more bodyguards could have been hired for Benghazi and protect our ambassador? Folks, we got a sad condition existing today. As I think of our graduates, not these only here, but our graduates that are saved Christian young men going and women going out facing the world today, it's a different world than what it used to be. Values have been shot. Freedoms have been lost. Things have changed like never before. And yet the truth is, I hope they'll pick up on one thing: what's done for Jesus will last. That's what's really, really biggest important thing. What's done will be often misjudged here. Often is. But let me move on to say, well, I would get off that too far. Talk about the hypocrisy of it. Now, the news media is so liberal it stinks. Fox News are getting some of the truth out, and I've said that from this pulpit, that sooner or later, they were going to have to shut them down. They're trying right now. Did you see that this week? They literally are trying. And you see, the First Amendment that protects the church also protects the press. Freedom of press. And I say to the press, you let the church go and you go in also. You let the government jump on the church and destroy the church, they're also going to destroy you. And we're getting a real picture of that going on this last week. I hope some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't have time to stand here and run the news of the week over, but you ought to keep up a little bit with it. It's more important than your so-called soap operas and some of the rest of that junk. Amen? But that First Amendment's important. If the church goes downhill, the news is going, the true news, the freedom of the press is going also. I hope they'll wake up, and I hope they'll do something about it. But I want to say to you today, what's being done for Jesus today is being falsely accused. It's being misjudged and made light of. These grads listening to me here and others, I hope, having baccalaureate service in other churches today, I want to say to them, you need to go out and realize out here in the world today, it may not be as popular as it used to be to mention the name of Jesus. And some of you may find out as you go into your college or you go into what business you're going into, you may find out that it's not so popular with the crowd you're going into. See, you went to Christian school, you've been in a good church, and Jesus could be talked about openly. But you may be getting into a hostile situation where you pay a little price for it. And there's others paying great price across this world today for it. But I say to you, the most important thing is still what you do for him. What you do for him. Let me say this. What's done for Jesus will be measured not by the short term, but by the long term. See, I said a while ago, here's a story in the Bible that happened. It happened on a certain day in a certain time. And it's almost 2,000 years old. And it's still going. And it'll last as long as God's word lasts. I ask you today, are you doing anything that's going to last? That's going to stand the test of time? Measured by time, will it last? Will it be worthwhile? How's it going to do in the long run? Look at it here in verse 8. She hath done what she could. Now Jesus says this. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She had more foresight. She saw something was happening. They were plotting to kill him. And she saw that he was going to die. He tried to explain to his disciples that he was going away, that he was going to die. But many of them didn't get a hold of it. And even at the crucifixion, they were still confused. But she had some foresight. She was doing something that would stand the test on down the road. She saw something ahead. She was looking ahead. I wonder how many today look very much ahead. I fear we've come to a day and time where we live a very animalistic-like life. If we can stay out of pain, if we can get enough to eat, and then on the human side, if we can find something that's fun to do, then everything is fine. And we have an attitude that every day is going to be a great day like yesterday was. And yet when we read a prayer list in church, you find out some folks had some things happen they didn't expect. And the Bible says we don't know what another day will bring forth. And the truth of the matter is we need to live today in the light of, will it stand the test of eternity? Is it going to have any value to it down the road? Will it be commended by Jesus down the road? That's important. You know, if you look ahead, Jesus spoke of very far ahead. See it in verse 9? The last verse we read. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, throughout the whole world. Hey, that's a pretty big view. Throughout the whole world. This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Boy, he was looking way down the road. Looking to where we're speaking in church today. But way on down the road where the gospel will be preached anywhere geographically in the world. This story will also be remembered. Let me ask you, what have we done that stands such a test of time? What have we done that might have been thought of as not much when we did it? And maybe we got criticized for doing it. Maybe you did something for the Lord Jesus Christ and your own family didn't understand and criticized you for it, misjudged it. But how will it stand the test of time? How will it stand the test of what Jesus thinks about it? I think that's very important. She looked much ahead. Jesus spoke very far ahead. Truth of the matter is, he spoke so far ahead that while he referenced in Matthew 24 that the gospel would be preached to the whole world before the end. Now, I think he's in the tribulation period there. But the whole thing, he was taking a long, long view right on to the end that this would still last. This would still stand the test of time. I'd say to our grads here today, I don't know how it is today. I'm pretty much out of touch, I guess. But in the old days, we'd have our annual books, and we'd write notes to each other in the books. And there'd be a place in the annual where somebody, you know, the pictures were made, and all that I'm for, and it's a great keepsake, and I probably still got one a long time ago. We had stone tablets, but anyway. Long time ago, I've got one. And somewhere in there, there'd be a caption somewhere, maybe with a couple. And the caption would say, most likely to succeed. And it's amazing what time does to a statement like that. It's amazing now for an old guy like me to pick up that annual and see how that turned out. How did that prediction turn out? How did it come out? Did they succeed as was expected? Or did they flop and fail? Some of those things I know about now, see, because I'm running the calendar way on forward. The truth of the matter, what the world calls success may not be success. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have a career that's good and honest and legit. And in that career, you can have your success. But in the midst of that, it won't be success unless you've made room for Jesus in it. You might say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to this college, and I'm going to get this degree, and I'm going to get with this corporation, and I'm going to, and all that's good, and I hope your plans work out, but I'll tell you, they won't work out unless you include Jesus. See, he's not condemning going out here and making an honest living and living a good, clean life. He wants you to do that. But make room for him all the way through it. And it'll go better. The Bible says that God honors them that honor him. I've lived long enough to see that and experience as well as know the word of God is true. I'd say to the grads here today, we'll hear of your plans and your career and all of that, and we'll pray for you and we'll rejoice with you. But just remember, all of it's going to be tested in the long run. You may kind of hate it when we old fellows come up to you and some of you kids in classroom, got some of the older teachers. And when you hear them say, I remember, then you kind of turn them off. There he goes again. Another old story. Well, I want to tell you a little secret. You're making your story now. You're creating your story now. Wonder how it'll match with some of the old-timers' stories. I hope it'll match good. It won't unless you include the Lord in it. Unless you let him have that prominent place that he wants. Not only in your heart, but in your life, in your lifestyle. I hope you get a good job. I hope you raise a great family. I hope you have good health. And maybe you will, and maybe you won't. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. I understand that. But at the same time, the best chance is to do something for Jesus that'll stand the test of time. And that will keep going on and on, no matter about the world. Test it by the long run. I say to you, it starts with knowing you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I say to our three young men here today and to all of our college grads, I'll say to you, my experience is this. I've watched bigger graduating classes come through our Christian school. I have watched them do well in school, do well in home, do well in their Christian life, but then go to a college and in a little while, you wouldn't hardly know they were Christians. Say, so why is that, preacher? Because they never had the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was never deep enough to stand the test of the devil when he come along. That's too bad. I want to say to you, don't go somewhere you can't take Jesus with you. Don't go somewhere where they're going to expel you if they mention his name. Yes, that happens. It happens. You see, he holds your breath in your hand. He saved your soul when he died for you on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. You may owe mom and dad, and you do owe mom and dad for putting you through school and feeding you and taking care of you. But if you're saved, you owe Jesus the most. He's the one you owe the most. You're building your own memorial now. What's it going to look like? Will it stand the test of time? I hope it will. I hope you have that real, genuine, personal relationship with Christ. And no matter what, you wouldn't give that up. That you'd keep that testimony for him. I say to you here today, if you're not saved, the truth of the matter is you're out there in the world. You don't know what another day is going to bring forth. You got some plans, but you don't know if those plans are going to be realized or not. But even if they are realized and you call it a victory, it won't be a victory if you stand before the Lord lost in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be a defeat. It'll be a defeat. When you look to the end, this lady here, I don't even know her name. Some might argue they do know. But the scripture doesn't just blurt her name out. She's just a woman. Just a little thing she done. But what a memorial to the Lord. I ask you today, do you have that relationship she had? She saw past the festival. She saw past even what the disciples saw. She was looking forward to his burial. She had some understanding. She had a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and he commended her for it. I look back on my own life and know I've had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ ever since I accepted him as Savior. And while a lot of things in my life I dread at the judgment seat, there's one thing. I've still held on to the fact he's my Savior. I want to live for him. I want to please him. And if the world don't see what I'm doing for him as being good, that's okay. It'll stand the test.